Good morning, everyone. The Committee on Finance and Tax will now come to order. Robin, please call the roll.
Chair Rodriguez.
Here.
Senator Cruz. Senator Berman.
Here.
Senator Harrell.
Here.
Senator Hooper.
Here.
Senator Jones.
Here.
Senator R. Rodriguez.
Here.
Senator Wright.
Here.
Quorum present.
Senator Cruz is excused. Please silence all electronic devices. COVID-19 precautions will limit access to Senate legislative committee meetings. Although members of the public will be able to testify remotely at the Donald L. Tucker Leon County Civic Center, anyone wishing to testify before a committee must fill out an appearance card and hand it to a member of the sergeant's office at the Civic Center. These appearance cards will be delivered to the committee administrative assistant. As time permits, public testimony will be taken on each of the committee agenda items. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be read into the record. To be clear, our decorum standards are the same for the Civic Center as they are for the Capitol. We would ask that you silence all electronic devices and observe social distancing guidelines. Members, today is our first meeting related to the 2021 regular legislative session, so I thought it was a good time to go around and introduce ourselves, after which we will hear a presentation on the tax concepts that the Department of Revenue has developed for the 2021 session. I'm going to ask each committee member to introduce himself or herself and tell us where they are from. Please start with the committee member furthest to my right. You are recognized, Senator Harrell.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. It's a delight to be on this committee. I'm Senator Gail Harrell. I represent District 25, which is Martin, St. Lucie, and the western side of Palm Beach County, including the Jupiter Farms and the city of Pahokee. This is the first time I've ever served on tax and finance in my many, many years in the legislature, and 18 years in the legislature, my very first time. So I am delighted to be here and look forward to serving with you and learning a lot on this committee.
Welcome. Thank you. Senator Hooper.
Good morning, everyone. Ed Hooper, District 16, North Pinellas County, Western Pasco County. It's a pleasure, Madam Chair.
Good morning. I'm Ray Rodriguez. I represent District 27. That is completely contained within Lee County. And looking forward to serving on the committee and your leadership.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm really glad to be on this committee with you, looking forward to working with you. My name is Tom Wright. I'm from the Daytona Beach area. I'm in District 14, which is basically the southern half of Volusia County and the northern half of Brevard County. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Chevron Jones, representing Senate District 35, which is the south portion of Broward County and the north portion of Miami-Dade County. A pleasure to be on this committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Lori Berman. I represent Senate District 31, which is central Palm Beach County. I was for many years on the F&T committee when I was in the House. I was not on it last year here in the Senate, so I'm looking forward, and I have a master's in estate planning, so I have a little bit of a tax background, so looking forward to it.
Excellent. I enjoyed hearing all of your backgrounds and participation. I'm excited to have you all here. I would like to take this time to introduce the committee staff. I'll go ahead and start with our staff director, Robert Babin. This is Robert's 11th year with the Florida Senate. Previously, he worked for the Florida Department of Revenue for 7 years, serving most recently as the department's legislative and cabinet services director. He has a bachelor's degree from the University of West Florida and a law degree and master's degree in tax law from the University of Florida. Thank you, Robert. We also have Dan Bruno, our senior attorney. You could raise your hand. This is Dan's first year with the committee. However, Dan has 4 sessions of experience as a legislative aide in both the Florida House of Representatives and the Florida Senate. Most recently, Dan worked as an assistant state attorney in Leon County. Dan has a bachelor's degree from the University of Florida and a law degree and master's degree in tax law from the University of Alabama. Okay. And next, we have Steve Gross, senior legislative analyst. Okay. This is Steve's 6th year with the Florida Senate. Previously, he worked as a research analyst for Histicon Associates in Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve has a bachelor's degree from the University of Central Arkansas and a master's degree in economics from the Florida State University. Thank you. And last but not least, John Kim, senior attorney. This is John's sixth year with the Florida Senate. He has previous experience in the Senate Bill Drafting Office as well as the Florida Office of Financial Regulation. John has a bachelor's degree and a law degree from the University of Florida. Thank you. Okay, next we will be hearing a presentation of the Department of Revenue's tax concept. This will be presented by Dr. Jim Zingale, the Executive Director of the Department of Revenue. Thank you for attending today. You are recognized. Good morning. I think there's a...
Aha, it wasn't on. That's a trick. Chair, committee, pleasure to be here today. I am Jim Zingale. I had the privilege probably around 1976 to be the staff director of this committee and had my start over here in the Senate many, many, many years ago. As you can tell, I'm going to go over five legislative concepts. They're not going to take very long. These are concepts. We do have drafted bills. Your staff have seen them. I'm going to tell you when I go through them where they came from, because these typically few come from the department, and some come from the people we work with, like state's attorneys and tax collectors. These are concepts, okay? They are concepts that primarily address tax administrative issues. We don't, as a cabinet agency, advocate tax policy. We don't comment on tax philosophy. These are meant to be administrative. And like most people, I think you're familiar with the staff I have here today. If I can't answer the question, Lisa Vickers is here as one of my deputies, and Debbie Longman is at the back, and you know Lisa well enough to know that she could do a lot better job than I can standing up here answering those questions. So we will proceed. There's only five. The first one came from our audit program. Little bit in the COVID world, little bit in the efficiency world. If a tax payer has electronic records, instead of the auditor going to the site to conduct the audit, this allows us to request the records if they are available from the tax filer electronically. It's fairly straightforward. Any questions on the first one? Yes, ma'am.
Madam Chair. Thank you.
You are recognized, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a question. Do we know what percentage of the companies will have the records available in the electronic format?
Not a percentage today. We might be able to go back to the staff and ask for that, but almost all of them are. They're going online. Very, very small ones would not. But again, this is meant not necessarily so much for the COVID as an ongoing efficiency measure in terms of how to deal with it. But we will go back. We know who is paying electronically. They are all the large ones. They would have all those records electronically, but try to come back and get you a percentage.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Yes, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the ones that don't have electronic, you'll still continue to do the on-site audits?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. The second one is an ongoing issue we've had with forwarding agents, kind of an odd concept, but here's tangible personal property. If it's imported into the state and sold in the state, we collect sales tax. The current law says that if it's imported into the state and exported out of the country, you do not have to collect sales tax on it. Mm-hmm. So there are some businesses that are primarily in the business of only importing and exporting. Okay, we call those forwarding agents. There has been, 10 years ago, a first company that was the only business that they did. Okay, they didn't sell tangible personal property locally out of the, you know, out of their storefront. They were solely in the business of having a big warehouse. Things came into their warehouse. They got shipped overseas. The department had worked out a mechanism by which they would not have to collect and remit tax as that was being transported through. Today we have six of them that are in varying agreements with us, that says they also have been looked at and do not have to do that. But to have a uniform procedure, okay, we are proposing in this concept a certificate process that you could do online, file your documentation, have that certificate, be able to show that to those that are coming in to ship stuff into you that they're not going to be collecting sales tax on it. We are working with that industry on an ongoing basis in terms of how the language that we have drafted will work, but we think it's all worked out. Any questions on the forwarding agent concept? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, yes. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You just said something about you have six of them. You have six of what?
We have six companies that are forwarding agents today. There are others that are in the business of both being a forwarding agent and selling retail, if you will, in Florida. So this certificate is designed only for those that are only in the business of exporting activity. Now, the critical twist and turn. Did I get that right? Thought so. Always check with Lisa.
Okay, thank you.
Third one deals with heavy metals, really, really small industry in Florida. The tax rate currently is $3.80 per ton. Okay, we put a tax on it. It's a mineral tax. That tax historically has been indexed, okay, that tax rate to a federal index for that industry. If the index went up, it would go up. If the index went down, the index would go down. Unfortunately, the feds no longer produce that index. Okay, this is saying here we will use prospectively, if this concept passes, prior year's rate. Okay, we'll fix that in prior year's rate, unless the index gets reinstated or unless we can use some of the other indexes that are available to compute it. Again, this is being shared with the industry. We haven't gotten any negative feedback at this time. Questions about heavy metals?
Yes, Senator Harrell, you're recognized.
Thank you very much. If there is no index now, and I don't know when the index was eliminated, do you anticipate that they will reinstate it? Or, you know, what moving forward, what's going to happen, and are we basically setting a flat rate from now on using last year's rate?
We do have last year's rate. Last year's rate was based on the index. The index today is gone. It'll be this $3.80 rate, okay, like it is for sales tax, unless we came back and asked you to change it here, or unless the index was reinstated, where we can look at the index and apply it to last year's rate. So it is flat rate, okay, unless there is additional information that lets it be indexed.
So would you have to, Madam Chair?
You're recognized.
So would enable you to just go ahead and institute the, should there be a new index, institute the new level without coming back to the legislature?
Yes. That's current law.
Yes, you're recognized.
Yes. If there is an increase in that index, would this open the door to a challenge based on requiring the two-thirds vote of the legislature in order to impose a new tax?
I ask that, and because that's current law today, the index is current law today, I do not believe it would require the extraordinary vote.
Thank you.
Okay, the next one has a scary-sounding beginning, okay, when you say theft of state funds, but it's not really a major change in terms of current practice that's going on right now. But the state's attorneys have, you know, raised an issue. I think the legislature for penalties associated with theft of state funds, particularly the borderline between misdemeanor and first degree, second degree, third degree, it's a dollar amount. I think the legislature raised that to $1,000. If you think about a tax filer in a 12-month period of time making 12 payments, if you will, and the word theft is in there is because sales tax is one of those strange taxes where the citizen pays the tax, the retailer remits the tax, okay? They're not really paying the tax is coming from the citizens, mm-hmm. And so they have received the tax, and if they choose not to remit the full amount, okay, what penalty is associated with that? And if you can take 12 months and say, we're only going to look at the 12-month one-at-a-time periods, it's a small number. If you look at the whole 12 months and can aggregate the amount of non-payment of the amount collected, then you can the penalty gets higher. Current state attorneys have interpreted it like we have historically interpreted, that you could aggregate that. I mean, if it's just a tax period and it's $1,000 a month, it's $12,000 a year. Most of the state's attorneys are concerned that it could be challenged in a different way and say, no, each month stands alone in its time. So this is just to clarify current practice as you're allowed to aggregate those for a tax period. Questions about that? Again, mostly a clarification. The last one comes from Department of Revenue has the tax side, state taxes, and it also has the oversight of the property tax side. Property tax, we regulate tax, we supervise the rolls that the property appraisers produce, and then the tax collectors is somebody we also deal with. The executive committee of the Tax Collectors Association suggest concepts every once in a while. This year the committee came up, and this is a taxpayer-friendly, if you will, option that we're putting forward. If you look at how you personally pay your own property tax, okay, you can wait till the end of March and pay the full amount. You can start in November and start paying it and get a discount. There's a third alternative, which is you can choose to pay installments for equal payments. You start quite early. You can start doing that. The first payment's due in June, not November or March. And because of that, you get a 6% discount on each of the quarterly payments. What happens if that first quarterly payment is delinquent? Okay, and you're in an installment payment situation. Today, that's a choice of tax collectors. They can sit there and take away the penalty, take away the discount 6%, and tack a 5% penalty on top of that. Okay. Only a few of the property appraisers have chosen that option. Okay. I mean, tax collectors. Most of the tax collectors come in, take away the discount for that quarter, and then do not charge the penalty. Tax collectors recommended to us they'd like to see that uniform so they don't get bickering between counties, if you will, and say that the discount you still lose, you didn't make your first quarterly payment timely, but you're not going to tack the penalty on top of that. We thought that was a good taxpayer-friendly thing to do and are putting that concept forward. Any questions on that one?
Yes. Senator, you're recognized.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, morning. Madam Chair. Yes. Is this third concept something that you are then for sure doing? Or is it something that's just...
Well, we proposed concepts. Governor and Cabinet looked at the concepts. We submitted them to them, allowed us to come to you. We're not submitting them to you as bills. We have to go get sponsors. We'd like you to consider some of these if you choose to come out with a committee bill. But we have to get these introduced as legislation. They're going to have to get referenced, and we'll be back here in front of you if it gets here.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Berman, you recognize?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm a little confused about this installment paying. I understand you get your bill in November, you can pay, get the discount. When the installment starts in June or
earlier,
ends in
significantly
June?
Earlier.
Well, so you pay your first installment in. When do you pay your installments? We don't get our property assessments and our bill until November. So when do you? How do the installment payment work?
You make an estimate based on your prior year's tax, as you would imagine. This is what I paid last year. Mm-hmm. I'm divided by four. First one's due in June. Second one's due. Third one's due. Fourth one's due. There's a true-up at the end in the fourth quarter
if there's
a difference between what comes out in November and the other.
Does the tax Madam Chair.
Recognize.
Follow-up. So I didn't even know that this is an option. Does every tax collector have this as an option, and do they advertise it?
The law provides the option. I believe the vast majority of them have that on their websites. Very few use it, and there are a wide variety of reasons why you might like to use it. okay, from a standpoint. It's a significant discount, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you have the cash flow, you can deal with it. But there are quite a few, and I tried to, I thought there'd be one shining reason why everybody would do it. No, there's quite a lot of reasons. Property appraisers were all over the place. I think I asked your question, but I'm not sure.
Thank you. You answered. Yeah, I didn't understand the program because I've never even heard about it, but thank you.
Yeah.
Senator Jones?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Berman asked one of my questions. Do you by chance have a list of the counties that is using the program?
Sure, we can get them to you. I think there's only two. Two that don't.
Oh, so only two, but...
Let me rephrase that. Two currently are taking away the discount and charging a penalty.
Okay.
Okay. All the other 62, no?
We currently do not allow for installment.
Ah, I got you. Two don't allow for installment payments.
They don't allow. Okay. And so we can get that list to the...
Sure.
Okay, I appreciate it.
That's why we got Lisa. Okay. No further questions?
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
No further questions? Oh, Senator Berman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So are these the only concepts that DOR is going to be putting forth this session, or are there other ideas that we can expect
these
to come
are the only ones. These are the only ones we would put forward. We do have some in the child support area, but they don't come into this committee. And this, in all honesty, is a small list compared to what we usually bring. Being able to connect with those we work with, was difficult. We didn't get a lot of suggestions coming in. And then when we prepare these things, typically was in the May, June, July period where a pandemic was just drowning us with other things to do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Senator Hooper?
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not a question so much as a comment to a thank you for your presentation, but it's always nice to see Mrs. Vickers again and know that her years of expertise in DOR makes the two of you able to answer any question we might have. So thank you for what you do.
Yes, that was a gift. We appreciate you giving us to her. Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, I would like to thank you as well, Mr. Zingale. You did a great job with your presentation. And is there any other business before the committee today? Do we have public testimony? Okay, we've confirmed that there is no public testimony. I want to personally thank you all. This is my first meeting as a chair. I've never chaired a committee before, so thank you all. I'm glad no one hazed me or did anything to rattle me. So, No, I saved it for the end, so you guys didn't have any time to do this. Yes, it was done by design. And I also want to thank my legislative aide who's here with me, Leah Duran. If you all ever need anything from our office, we're here to help as well. And with that, Senator Hooper moves that we adjourn. Seeing no objection, the motion is adopted. We are adjourned.